And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I'm your host, Chip Patterson, and today we are going to head out to the West Coast as another part of our preseason package. You know, you might have heard Jeremy Fowler talk the ACC, Jerry Hinnan talk the SEC, Tom Fornello gave us the Big Ten, and now touching base with Bruce Feldman, going to talk a little bit of Pac-12. Bruce joins us from New York City, where he is preparing to do some work with CBS Sportsnet. Bruce, thanks so much for hopping on the podcast, and why don't you tell us a little bit about Fast Football?
All right. It's good to be on with you, Chip. Well, actually, the show debuts on Tuesday. It's really a look at both innovation and the speed of the game, whether it could be, you know, the Oregon speed or the speed of Baylor, you know, the personnel they're putting on the field, or the or as much as the technology and innovation that's going on around the game. So it, rather than just be another different show of, hey, four talking heads previewing a game, that's pretty much the same way everyone else is previewing it. It's just a different perspective on it.
So a little bit of the scheme stuff, but also just in general, like the equipment and everything across the board?
Yeah, everything from technology to the background of how things came to be as they are. And, I think it's a way for us to try to look at the game and through a little bit of a different prism. And hopefully people will say, hey, this is something different. I want to check this out every week.
Very cool. Of course, that will be Tuesday on CBS Sports Network. But now let's take a look at 2013 in the Pac-12. The season starts on Thursday. And just over the last 2 to 3 years, the Pac-12, in addition to conference expansion and the creation of the Pac-12 network, there's really been a good influx of head coaches. A lot of, whether it's the big names like your Lane Kiffin, your Mike Leach, but then you've also got your up-and-comers like Sonny Dykes, that, you know, coaches that are making their first really big, grand BCS-level stage. You know, Mark Helfrich will be making his debut this year. With all of this coaching talent coming in, you know, I like to say that there's 12 teams, and each week half of them have to lose. Do you see any programs that are going to be able to overtake either Oregon and Stanford in the north or UCLA, USC in the south? And if so, who is best positioned to do that?
I think the two schools that probably in each division that would have the best chance to maybe knock one of those other ones out of the way, to me, would be Washington State. Steve Sarkisian finally has to break that 7-win barrier. Keith Price has played a lot of football. I talked to him a few weeks ago, and you know, he had a good 2011 and a bad 2012, and he said that, you know, he just really didn't trust his offensive line enough because they were all new. He's got good skill talent. Sarkisian's upgraded the talent on both sides of the ball. I think they have a chance to crack the top, at least get to maybe 8 or 9 wins. The problem for them is I still think Stanford and Oregon are still superior to them, especially in the consistency level. On the other side, in the South, is a little more up for grabs because I just don't think the top of it is as good as the top of the Pac-12 North.
Right.
But I like USC and UCLA to come out of the South, but I think Arizona State has a chance. I mean, the gap between them and the other two is not much. I think they could play with either one. I think Todd Graham did a really good job of cutting down all the mental mistakes that have been plaguing the Arizona State program for so long.
You mentioned Washington, and one figure on Sarkisian's staff that has certainly gotten a lot of attention and praise since his arrival has been defensive coordinator Justin Wilcox. Both some of the things that the Huskies' defense has done, but also some of the work he's done on the recruiting trail. Is he the type of coach that you imagine will be there with Sark for a little while, or do you think that he's got his eyes, you know, on potential head coaching opportunities a couple years away?
Well, I think he definitely would be somebody who, if he has a chance to get a good head coaching job, would jump at it. You know, he did a really nice job at Tennessee in the relatively short time he was there. And then when he left, Tennessee was awful on defense. So I think that it's just a matter of when you're making a good amount of money, if you're at, you know, one of these automatic qualifier conferences as a coordinator, sometimes you're making more money than the mid-majors can pay if you run one of their programs. So, you know, obviously they have to keep winning, and we'll see what his options are. But he's definitely one of those guys I think ADs are going to keep an eye on.
You know, I mentioned that this was, of course, the Pac-12 network. It's finished about 1 year, and the having a conference network really, whether it's been a reason why Maryland potentially decided to go to the Big Ten or a factor in that decision. And before the grant of rights, I know the ACC schools were sort of all excited about the potential of an ACC network. You know, the Pac-12 network is done. It's set. Outside of, you know, the DirecTV battle, which I believe is still ongoing, you know, how would you grade on A to F that first year of the Pac-12 network?
Well, if somebody has DirecTV and lives in Los Angeles, where many Los Angelinos can't even see it, you know, I can't give it, I have to give it an incomplete.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like a lot of the people who work on it, but if you can't see it, especially when you're in the biggest market there, and it's not a great, right now, Larry Scott has not been able to, for whatever reason, you know, it could be on totally DirecTV, could be as much as a fault, but if you can't get on all these carriers, that's a big hurdle. I mean, the Fox Sports Net was able to find a way to get on these major carriers. Right now, if you're in Southern California, your only option is Dish TV. And it's just, you know, that's what's lacking. And I think, you know, the reality is SEC fans care, you know, they care about football so much that people won't mess with it. Whereas in the Pac-12, Larry Scott and his, you know, the people around him can make all these demands, but ultimately no one's followed through. And this is going to be a second season where you can't see DirecTV. So I mean, I couldn't give the Pac-12 network any grade at this point. I mean, I haven't seen it. I mean, I like some of the people who work on the product, but occasionally I'll be in a sports bar and it'll be on with the volume off. I've even done a couple of shows for them, but I've never even seen them.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting throughout this whole process, just the fact that so much, you know, the idea of a conference network was such a big gambling chip, and we're entering an era where media is consumed not just from cable channels, and a lot of fans are able to get things they want from their computer, from their mobile device, and while having your own network was worth a lot of money, especially as the Big Ten started to expand their contract for the Big Ten Network, you know, I don't know if the model is replicated as easily as some people have made it seem.
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, I think we're still getting there in terms of the technology. If I have the chance to watch, because I've watched games on my computer too, but I won't if I have the chance to watch it on the TV.
Right.
You know, and just the quality is just not the same. People can say, well, it's getting better, but it's just not the same as watching it, you know, on an HD big screen. And, you know, but look, it's made big leaps in the past few years. And we'll see. And obviously that's where a lot of things are headed, and people are used to watching things and, you know, watching multiple things and platforms. But, you know, I still think you have to take care of your core audience. You know, it still surprises me when I hear how few people are actually on Twitter, because, you know, everybody I feel like I know is on it. But then, you know, sometimes I think we live in our own little world where, you know, whether we cover college football, we care about it a lot. You know, sometimes the rest of the world isn't behind us, you know, the same platform.
Yeah, that's like the if you spend all day on Twitter, on email, chatting college football with other people who write college football. I mean, I'm sure our follow lists look similar. It's mostly all college football people. You know, you step outside and talk to somebody who's been at their 9-to-5 job, and it's, you know, you have to remind yourself that they're not sitting there reading all of the continuous updates throughout the day. And then, you know, they're not quite, maybe the average sports fan doesn't want everything that we're able to provide.
No, I mean, look, it's a meritocracy, and you hope there's enough that keeps it going. But those things, you know, those things always kind of trickle out to some degree, and then you kind of figure out, is this the way it's working or not?
All right, well, let's go on the field as we look ahead at 2013 in the Pac-12. First of all, could I get one team that you think is a little bit of a sleeper pick, and then one team that it seems a lot of the preseason pundits have pegged a little bit higher, and you think that by about midseason, they'll come back to earth and readjust their expectations?
You know, I think Oregon State may struggle a little more than they did last year. I feel like, you know, they found a way to get 9 wins last year. I'm not sure they're going to be quite as strong this year. And I also think the rest of the conference, I feel like, is a little deeper. I think Cal's going to be quite a bit better than they were last year. I think Washington State should be more competitive than they were last year. You know, I think Colorado, Utah, I think some of those programs are going to get better. I just think it's a deeper league now in the second half of it. In terms of maybe a team that'll be a little better than most, you know, I have Stanford better than I think, you know, most people have them still in the top five. I think they'll play in the national title game. I don't think they'll win it, but I think they'll get there.
Do you, because that basically includes going undefeated through the regular season. So you've got them beating Oregon. I don't have anybody in the South that could top Stanford. I think that Stanford, you know, Stanford or Oregon are probably two of maybe the three teams in the country that could stand on the same field with Alabama right now. I think either one of them could beat them.
Well, my difference on that is I think they're really well coached. I think they have a really good defense and a very good offensive line and a good quarterback. I think the biggest difference between Alabama and Stanford is Alabama has Amari Cooper and Alabama has T.J. Yeldon, and Stanford doesn't have either of those. And so I just don't think their skill talent is good enough to win that game. But I do think their defense is really good. I think it'll be better than it was last year because Shane Scove is going to be more a dynamic athlete, and I feel like their secondary is going to be even better. Their D-line will be even better. I just don't know about the skill talent being good enough to beat an Alabama or some powerhouse team with a defense and some firepower.
With Pep Hamilton gone to the Indianapolis Colts, do you see the offense sort of having any major changes, or will the change? I'm expecting some changes this year, but I think that will be Kevin Hogan just mastering the whole system a little bit better. Are you expecting anything different with Hamilton out?
You know, I like Pep Hamilton. I think he's going to be an NFL head coach very soon. But I think Mike Bloomgren is one of the most underrated coaches. If you don't know, if you haven't heard much about him, he's a guy in his mid-30s. He was an FSU guy, not a former player. And everybody in coaching who knows him raves about him. And he was the run game guy, and he was really the play caller for the run game last year. I think he's going to be a terrific hire. And one thing that Stanford has been really good at in the last 5 years, whether it's Harbaugh or David Shaw, is tabbing, you know, promoting really good, finding really good assistants, especially young ones, whether it's Derek Mason or Pep or even Mike Sanford. I just think they have a bunch of really sharp guys there that's working well for them.
That's true. Stanford will spend week one off. They get a little bit of a week to watch everyone else. And I think David Shaw will even be doing a little bit of TV work. But there's some lopsided matchups, but especially late Saturday, you're going to really get some intriguing ones. Which games stand out to you and some of those teams in the middle? Like, you were just talking about how the back half of the conference will be a little bit stronger. What are you really looking for and seeing in those teams, like your Washington and State, Cal, and what games are you going to have your eye on Saturday?
You know, you mentioned that state. It's Washington plays Boise. It's really the reopening of a really loud building. Husky Stadium can be a wild place when they were good. I've been there when it was as loud as any stadium I've been in. And, you know, they're going to play a good Boise team who's always well coached. And curious what Keith Price is going to do. He's talking about how it's a bounce back year. He thinks it's going to be even better than it was 2011, so he has a chance to prove it. Washington State goes down to Auburn. You know, it's two teams that were 3-9 and really struggled last year. You know, I think Washington State will be improved, but I'm not sure. Their offensive line was so awful last year. I mean, it's the worst offensive line I've ever seen in major college football. Leach still has playing three former walk-ons, and Auburn does have defensive linemen. I mean, as much as they struggled last year, it's not like they didn't have any athletes on the front seven, you know. So I think that's going to be a challenge, whether they can protect. I think Connor Halliday is improved from everything I've heard from down there. Their defense, Washington State's defense, actually isn't that awful. You know, it's okay. But I just don't know if they can protect Halliday, and we'll see, you know, what kind of weapons they have on the outside. I mean, Gabe Marks is a pretty good player at receiver,
right?
But I'm not sure that there's anybody who's really all that special outside. And if you don't have that, it just, you know, it just makes it really hard to make an offense go if you can't consistently hit some big plays.
Do you think that it's possible for Auburn defensively to just turn right around from where they were last year, just, you know, with Ellis Johnson there? Or do you think that that'll even take a little bit of time?
No, I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, I think that Auburn will have the kind of season that Hugh Freeze had at Ole Miss last year, where you go from, you know, epically bad to 7-win season, because I think that he'll get it going. But it will. I think it's going to take a little bit of time before they're back to where, you know, back to where, not necessarily competing for national titles, but hovering on top 25.
That Boise State Washington game that you mentioned, you will be doing, turning in your expert picks in the next few days that all of the listeners can see on CBSSports.com. How are you picking that game? I know you spent some time with Chris Peterson this summer. You just said you spent some time with Keith Price. I think that the odds makers have the Huskies as about a field goal or so favorite. But, you know, your traditionalist, your boilerplate pregame breakdown of any Boise State team in a season opener is how Chris Peterson's an incredible record given more than a week to prepare. You want to give us a little teaser of how you're picking that game or how you think it's going to play out?
I'm leaning towards the home team. You know, I think I am on this one, but, you know, until you actually send it, you don't know what your mind's going to pull a stunner on that.
In what ways do you think, Cal, beyond the Bear Raid, what are other ways that you're hoping to see Sonny Dykes and sort of his staff's influence in Cal as they are also opening up a new stadium on Saturday?
You know, they have some speed. They're young skill guys, but they have speed. And, you know, he was really high on Kenny Lawler when I saw him out this spring, and just has great ball skills, and they have a bunch of good young players, you know, but, I just think new direction is good there. And I think Sonny Dykes is really smart. He'll fit in there pretty well. I could see them getting to 6 wins this year. I don't think they're going to be much more than that, but I think they have a chance to win 6 games, but they got to get some momentum early.
All right. Okay, Bruce, we're going to send you out of here on this. Been wrapping each of these conference previews with, you know, some version of a Power Five, and the Power Five is not necessarily a ranking, but just if I was to say to you a handful of this, and for you, I would like to ask, you know, you do the Freaks List, and if you haven't checked out the Freaks List, it's a great breakdown of not only the physically gifted players, but, you know, I like it to sort of as a tool for looking at, you know, scouting players and player development. In your opinion, who are a handful or five potential breakout players for the Pac-12 in 2013?
I would start with Cyril Cravens. He's a safety at USC, 6'2", 220. He may be the best defensive back USC's brought in since Troy Polamalu. He will start from day one. I think he's a big-time guy, and they know it. They're really high on what they've seen. After that, I would look at – I'm very curious to see, UCLA has – they may start 3 freshmen in the secondary. You know, I talked to somebody there this week. I don't know if you're going to see anybody with a similar, you know, kind of pedigree as what USC has with Cravens. But and this guy is maybe a little further down. But when I talk about breakthrough guy, I would say Shaq Evans. Because everybody talks about USC receivers, and, you know, and rightly so. Look, Marquise Lee was arguably the best player in the country last year, and Nelson Aguilar is one of those guys who I think will be, you know, could be on that list too. He's just a real special receiver. But Shaq Evans is going to be an NFL player, and I think he will be the security blanket for Brett Hundley this year as UCLA, you know, kind of moves forward from the Jonathan Franklin era.
Right. Mixing up that offense a little bit and relying less on that rushing attack?
Yeah, I think that's going to be key because, look, they're going to go with a three-man, you know, running game. And, you know, Jordan James will play well. I think Paul Perkins is a speed back. That was, you know, Hundley's buddy from Arizona. They grew up together. I think that'll help. But ultimately, they need somebody that all these young guys can rely on. I think Shaq Evans is going to be that guy who will really, really step up. Beyond that, I'm trying to, kind of go through this in terms of who I would consider as a breakout guy and who's already an established guy. You know, because obviously you wouldn't want to say, Marcus Mariota fit in there or anything like that, or Colt Lierla. But in terms of an Oregon guy, and I think diehard Ducks fans, know this name because he's a track guy and he's been, really good in the past. But from what I heard, B.J. Kelly is really, just in terms of consistency, has really impressed a lot of people there within the program, just as a guy who flashed, because they know he's a big play threat. But I think they expect him to be a real solid contributor. And as Mark Helfrich's team, I think, becomes more, will be a real true passing team, but I think they'll probably emphasize the passing game a little more than Chip did as Mariota has developed. And I think that's what maybe would be more of Mark Helfrich's stance. So I could see B.J. Kelly being in a guy who steps up. As far as the Stanford guy who comes to mind, watch out for James Waters, who's a linebacker, and he'll jump into the action. He was a big recruit before. He's a real physical kid. He's playing a lot better with his hands. And I think he will be the next big star to come out of Stanford. And then there's one other guy from the Cardinal I would include, because we're going to be talking about their defense a lot, and Aziz Shiptu, another former big recruit, has been really nasty for them in fall camp. He's an explosive defensive tackle, and one of those guys that people are going to go, the Stanford have guys like that. Well, yeah, they do. They're just younger, and I think he's a guy that we'll be talking about a lot as the year goes on.
You got Sua Cravens, Shaq Evans from UCLA, B.J. Kelly from Oregon, James Waters, and Aziz Shiptu from Stanford. Those are the five players to keep an eye on. Anything big picture that you're really, beyond the Pac-12, you're just really intrigued and sort of curious to see? I always like hearing your opinion on this. What are you looking for this Saturday? Big national.
I want to see whether Clemson, whether they step up and deliver. I mean, look, this is a young Georgia defense they're going up against. Taj Boyd's got a lot of experience running Chad Morris's system. They're coming off a huge win for them over LSU, the comeback win in the Georgia Dome. To me, Clemson is the most on-the-spot team. And I would say for a couple of different reasons, there's some under-the-radar games that I want to see. I'm curious to see what happens with Cliff Kingsbury's first game. He plays against June Jones and Hal Money against SMU. We'll see. He may play two freshman quarterbacks, and who knows how that'll work out. Even a game like BYU, Virginia. Virginia, Mike London's got to get off to a fast start because this is year four. He has to play Oregon at home. He has to play BYU at home. Those are not easy non-conference home games.
No.
I think he needs to split there, or else he could be on the hot seat in a hurry.
Yeah. That's an interesting case, and I'm sure we will discuss that more, because this is a must go to a bowl year for that staff, and they've got a very, very tough non-conference schedule.
I'm totally with you on it, and how fast it can go south down there if you don't get some momentum early.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he is Bruce Feldman, and of course, please follow him on Twitter if you are not already, and check him out as he goes to CBS Sports Network Fast Football on Tuesday night. For Bruce Feldman, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.